What is up, business owners, entrepreneurs, and probably my grandma? This is Business Vibe. In today's interview, we talk with Alex Dupre. Alex hated working for someone else and created a home service side hustle that now makes $15,000 per month. He shares the story of how he got his first customers by door knocking on every single home in his neighborhood and the other marketing strategies that have worked great for his business. Enjoy. Alex, it's great to meet you. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background?
Yeah, pleasure's all ours. My name's Alex Dupre. I'm the owner of Dirty Jersey Home Services. We are in our second year here. Prior to that, I was in retail for about 18 years. I held every position from a part-time truck unloader to a district trainer. And I got tired of just working for somebody else when I had the opportunity to make a difference for myself and my family. And I took control of it one day because I got sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Like so many people, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they don't set things up for you to, you know, really make a difference in your family if you are a U2 employee.
So what is your business? Your business is Dirty Jersey Home Services. And what do you do?
So we focus primarily on anything involving exterior cleaning, gutter cleaning, window cleaning, pressure washing, soft washing, as well as, you know, making sure that people can appreciate what they have going on at home and, you know, can see the life brought back into their homes.
And so you kind of already talked about what inspired you to start Dirty Jersey Home Services. Is there any, did you just start getting kind of tired of working for somebody else? Or can you point to one specific time that really transformed your way of thinking?
So this was honestly labor of love that started many, many years ago. At first, when I was in my 20s, I wanted to buy a franchise, but you know, I just couldn't fall in love with any of the franchises. And I thought I had to go the franchise route because I didn't understand what it was like to be a business owner. And I thought that, you know, with being in a franchise, you can then see that it's, you know, you have that guidance to be that business owner. And then early 30s, I got myself involved with an MLM. I was like, you know what, maybe this is something close to being a franchise without having, you know, that ridiculous amount of money you have to put forth first. And that didn't work out exactly the way that I wanted it to. And so finally evolved into this.
And so what were your first steps to starting your business? So you had the idea, you were still working, I imagine, as a W-2 employee when you started. Did you kind of start as a side hustle?
Yes. Yes. So this, believe it or not, this actually started because my HOA sent me a letter in the mail saying that if I don't clean my own home, I'm going to get fined. And I was like, can they even do this? You know, because this was my first time dealing with an HOA. And so took to YouTube initially, YouTube University, and learned the basics of what it takes to clean my own home. And after I cleaned my own home, I was like, people pay for this stuff? Like, are we serious? This is what goes on? And so I was like, you know what? Let's see if we can turn this into something. And that's just what it was. I started off with maybe one house a day, 4 days a week. And I did that last year part-time while working with Little Debbie as a distributor and doing that during the day and doing pressure washing in the evening.
That's a beautiful coming to story. So you had a W-2 that you didn't particularly like. You wanted a side hustle and you found a need that people wanted, that people would pay for, and you just start slowly growing it from there then.
Yes, yes. But the key to finding a side hustle, it's not just about the money. It's about doing something you actually enjoy doing. You know, for me, like I said, with retail, it's that before and after picture. You know, in this industry, that's all I do all day.
And so transitioning to the marketing side, how did you get your first customer when you were starting this and you wanted to transition from cleaning your own house to cleaning and helping other people?
So the first thing I did was I reached out to every friend and family in my contacts. I went down the line in my contacts, whether it was like 100 text messages that I sent out. I was just like, hey, listen, I've started my own business. I need a favor. Can I come clean your house? Can I get some experience under my belt? And can I exchange it for a Google review? Just something. You know, and that's how I started with my work experience to build up that knowing what I'm doing. And I relied on anybody who was close to me to allow me to get the opportunity to learn the ins and outs and make mistakes and fall forward.
And so we kind of hit already on about what you do for customers. You do power washing and things in that respect.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And so what ways of marketing have you tried that may or may not have been successful? So you contacted everybody that you possibly could to get your first customers, and then you started, I'm sure, that ball started to roll.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So from that point, it then went from door to door. I mean, when you are starting out and you don't have the money to pay for marketing or pay for ads or anything like that, you start where it's free. So you talk to friends and family, you talk to, you know, you get referrals, you start knocking the neighbors. You know, I live in a development with 120 homes, and I was able to get 11 homes in my neighborhood. And from that point, they would introduce us on Facebook to their friends and family. Hey, check out Dirty Jersey Home Services. They're going to be there for you. You know, they just did our house. You know, and it's getting those people to give you that, you know, request, that referral, saying, I trust them, you should too.
Yeah, because word of mouth was one of the most powerful ways of marketing.
Absolutely. And then from there, because I saw success within door knocking, I invested in door hangers. I invested in flyers. I invested in something that still did not cost a lot of money to distribute and a low entry point to kind of make myself still look professional.
That is beautiful. And so you have all these compounding ways of marketing. You have all these compound ways of marketing. Did any one of those produce more results than the others?
So once I got the ball rolling and I started bringing in the revenue, I was then able to start paying for paid ads. Facebook was a great low entry point for paid ads. I think we were investing maybe $20 a day, $600 a month. But that $600 a month in ad spend brought in about 70 to 80 leads a month.
Wow.
So, yeah. Yeah. So like that was the point where it was like, okay, now we can start taking this very serious. There is this huge demand out there. People need us. But I still did it part-time until I saw that my income from my part-time job was equaling the income from my full-time job.
And then you were able to make that transition and comfortably say, okay, let's take the leap.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, I mean, the first thing that I would recommend to anybody is if you're going to start a side hustle, do not make that leap until your money is equal or better than what you're originally bringing in. And then wait one more year. Get a full season under your belt before you go full time. And I will say that, you know, that was definitely something I didn't do initially. But looking back, any advice I can give to somebody, it would be get that full season under your belt first before you go full time, because things change from month to month.
And so I'd kind of like to go back to like the door knocking. There's, I think, a lot of thought, you know, out there on the internet about, wow, door knocking and cold calling and that is scary. What was that like for you going into it?
Oh, absolutely. It's scary because the number one thing is fear of rejection. But you know what? You just got to get rejected a lot. And then it doesn't bother you, because you got to remember at the end of the day, the only thing that matters is, are you going to be able to help somebody? And, you know, you can't help everyone. And you just keep that mentality. I remember my first sale. I was standing in the doorway of somebody's home. They needed to just get their deck clean. So they had a two-story deck, one on the first floor and one on the second floor. And they just needed a quote for that. And I'm sitting there, I'm measuring it out because the internet told me I had to measure square footage. And I'm trying to do this as professional as possible. And I'm stuttering and I'm skipping over my words and I'm just looking like a bumbling fool. And the customer said, yeah, that sounds great. Let's do it. And I was like, okay, let's do it. Yeah.
And I bet that boost of confidence was just the best thing in the world.
Oh my God. Like, I called my wife right away and I was like, I got a sale. Yes. You know, like, it was just, I was on top of the world. I was like, this really wasn't as hard as it could be or as I thought it would be. And then from there, I've sworn by door knocking and organic marketing.
So in your marketing, do you take an approach to customer retention, trying to, you know, get that same customer over and over and keeping yourself and your business in the back of their mind for the next time they need that service?
100%. See, you got to look at being an entrepreneur as, you know, it costs a lot of money to find a new customer, whether it is your money in the labor that you're spending walking door to door or actual dollars to go find these customers. But if you already have a customer, you already have that rapport. You know, you don't have to go back to their house next year. You don't have to go and give them a re-quote because you already have their house mapped out and they know, like, and trust you. Retention is critical. And the best way that we do it is we, once a quarter, we reach out to them. We give them a call. We just say, hey, listen, you know, this is Alex from Dirty Jersey Home Services. We took care of your home maybe 3 months ago. You know, if you ever need anything, whether it's to get your gutters cleaned, whether it's for us to clean your windows, not a problem. We'll be here for you. You know, I'll take good care of you. And you got to come across sincere for these people because that's what they care about.
On these outreach calls that you're doing to try to get that same customer back a second time, do you track any of those metrics? Do you have any idea of how many people you get back to purchase a second time?
Oh, absolutely. So like the only way, whether it's new customers or old customers, the only way you're really going to get them to do something is if you are just constantly in front of them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we may do a phone call outreach partnered with a piece of mail in the mailbox. Mm-hmm. I'll send out maybe 500 flyers a quarter. And then contact those 500 customers 2 weeks later because you just received this promotion that I'm offering you as an existing customer. And now you're hearing from me again. Hey, listen, you know, I just want to give you this credit that we have available. I only have two left this week and I want to give it to you. Something to make them feel special.
And I'm willing to bet that marriage of those two different marketing styles, that really helps and to increase
absolutely. Customers. Because you may have been out to their house for one service and they may not even realize that you have another service available for them. So just by telling them about the other services that you offer, I've had customers who were like, yeah, our house is still looking good. I don't need it pressure washed, but I really do need our windows taken care of. Yeah, not a problem. Let me do that for you. Let me take care of you. That's how you retain your customers.
So moving kind of to the operation side of this, do you have a team or are you kind of a solo operator?
So I started out as a solo operator, but once I hit about $10,000 a month in sales, then I brought on a technician. Then once we hit about 15 grand in sales, we brought on a virtual assistant. Once we hit these points where we're happy with it, or we have enough income to afford it, I guess you would say, add more people.
And how do you go about finding those people, to find great people that work for you?
The best place to find people are people who are already employed, you know. If you are just looking on Indeed or if you're looking on just any kind of job boards, even job boards that are local at like your local college, maybe not all of them know what they're doing. Maybe not all of them are going to have that work ethic. But people who have a job, they do have a good work ethic. There's a good chance they hate their boss. they could have gotten in a fight with their supervisor over because they didn't put their shopping cart away or something like that. And they go, you know what? I hate this job. But if they're a good worker and you see that they're a good worker, just go up to them and ask them, hey, do you keep your options open?
And so how many times have you done that?
Hundreds. Because not everybody's looking, you know? And I can't guarantee that this business is gonna work for you, but I can guarantee I can show you a different opportunity that might be better. And if it's not, we can part ways as friends.
And so how many people were you able to, you know, hire that way?
It depends upon your scenario. This year, we've gone through about 5 people who we found for numerous different things, whether they are technician to work on the trucks, whether they're on the sales team to help sell jobs, whether it's, you know, or something to help with administrative duties. Because I'll be the first person to tell you that I am terrible at using the computer. I am not a back office person. I am operations. I am sales. I like to get dirty with my team. And, you know, I lead from the front. But recruiting is the best way to do it.
So that's a really good segue to my next question. What does the typical day for someone in your position, the owner with a team, look like?
A typical day, I'll start off with the morning to see if we have any new quotes that are approved. I will, if the quotes are approved, I'll get that information written down and ready to go. I'll send that information over to my VA, which is, if you're not familiar, it's a virtual assistant. And then she'll go out and she'll start making phone calls. She'll get people on the schedule. She'll get the schedule start to be packed out that way. From that point, I have a meeting with my technicians. I tell them, okay, here's the jobs that we have lined up for the day. You may need this special chemical. You may need to do this special technique for this particular thing. If you're running into trouble, let me know. If I've got a brand new technician, I may be shadowing him. I may be showing him how to do the work and then teaching him how to do it on his own. If I'm working with new salespeople, I'm out there knocking doors with them. I'm out there making phone calls with them. I'm giving examples, real life examples on what to do so that way they can all be successful. Because I want everybody to be a winner on our team. Because it's not about it being a race to the finish line. It's the journey and how many people you can take with you. How many people are you going to change their lives so that way they can live a better life just like you want to?
Do you mind talking about revenue?
So right now, when I started out doing it part-time, I was doing 20 hours a week and I was bringing in about $5,000 a month. Whereas my full-time job, I was doing 50 hours a week and I was bringing in about $5,000 a month. That's when we were like, you know what, next year we need to make this a full-time gig. When we did start going full-time, within the first 2 months, the first month was $4,000. The second month was $10,000. And then the next 3 months were $12,000. So we're still considered a very young business. But then once we started to grow into about 15, again, brought in the VA, I hit that next mile marker. And then right now, our goal going into the second half of the year is pushing for $20,000 a month.
Beautiful and good for you. And so moving kind of into the personal insights, there's a question I love to ask every entrepreneur that I interview. And that is, what was your childhood like? Did you always want to start your own business?
No, I was a wild child. I was irresponsible. If you ask my mom, I was a bad kid. I hung out with the wrong crowd. I didn't like listening to authority. That could be why I wanted to be my own boss, is because I didn't like the idea of someone having their thumb on me. A lot of these folks, when they become supervisors, they're brand new. They think they know everything. And, you know, sometimes you get jaded and you don't want to listen to that kind of stuff when you know that there could be another way to get a job done and still be successful. Perhaps that is why. I don't know. I'd say probably what really pushed me was the book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And reading that book and learning about the four squares of income, from being an employee to being self-employed, to being a business owner, to being an investor. If you haven't read that book, I would definitely read it.
And so what qualities or skills do you think are necessary for somebody in the home service industry?
It depends. If you just like doing the work, getting your hands dirty and learning how to do the work efficiently. But if it's about becoming an entrepreneur, it's 100% sales and marketing. And I feel like this is why so many business owners just fail, because they go into this going, you know what? I can work a hammer and a nail. I can be a contractor. But they don't know how to market their business. And if you don't know how to market your business, you will ultimately go under.
So coming to my last couple of questions, what advice would you give to someone looking to start their own business?
Get a mentor. 100%, whether it is free mentorship, whether it's paid mentorship, I don't care, get a mentor.
Was that something you were able to do, or
yes,
looking back, you wish you did?
No, I did it from the get-go, and I picked that up because of doing an MLM.
And so how did you find a mentorship? You found somebody that was also in the home service industry?
Yes, there are tons of people who are willing to help. There are tens of people who will do it for free. And then there's tons of people who will do it as a paid service. Find somebody who has a couple years under their belt, who knows the ins and outs, who can get you through it. Sure, there's going to be a lot that you have to do on your own. You know, a mentor will definitely make the process go quicker for you.
And you read a lot on the internet that people are looking for mentorship, or they think they need some. How were you able to find and secure a mentorship? How did you go about approaching someone?
Actually, through Facebook groups. So there, in our industry, there are tons of Facebook groups, and there are people who are willing to give free advice. There are people who are willing to give paid advice. You just got to do your due diligence, and you need to see, especially if you're going to pay for it, you have to see what their track record of success for others is.
Great advice if you're looking for a mentor then. And so my last question, where can people find more information about you and your business?
You can go right on dirtyjerseyhomeservices.com. You'll see our website. We're paged out of South New Jersey, and we're here to help anybody, whether it's questions, concerns, or you need help getting your house clean. We got you.
And we'll definitely link that in the bottom too. Thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate you.
It's our pleasure. I loved it. And I thought this was a cool experience.